for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the Lake Hammond Bible Camp December virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Vales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hammond Bible Camp's director, Merrill Miller. This is Saturday morning, December the 5th, 2020. Kerna and Gene Williams are the ministers of the morning. Kerna Williams is speaking on the spirit of Hamas. Gene Williams is speaking on opposition's position, you for advancements.
Lord, we thank you for this time to meet with you, for all the people that have come on online. We ask you that you bless everyone that has come online and that your Holy Spirit come down and fill their hearts with joy and happiness. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this time, and we give you all glory and all praise and all honor. We humble ourselves before you this day, Lord, to praise you in Jesus' name.
We thank God for Brother Merle and all of you that are on. Apostle Kerna and Gene are with us, and so we're going to turn it over to them now. God bless you.
Hello and God bless you. Once again, hello and God bless you. And I want to say hello to, first of all, acknowledge God, His Son, Jesus Christ, Director Merrill, Patty, and Kevin for the awesome work that they're doing in the Lord, even with Zoom. And we want to thank God for them, and we pray that God will continue to bless and grace them.
Amen.
We apologize. Our main computer went out, so now my wife, Jean, is working on the big computer again. So I told her I'll just go ahead and take the lead with using the small keypad. Many of you understand spiritual warfare. When something is going right for the purposes of God, yes, we know that we have authority over that interference. Amen?
Amen.
We were so blessed yesterday with the teaching on the mystery of iniquity and the strong delusion. And even when I went to bed last night, that message was still on my heart. And I pray that many of the listeners and viewers out there that you would, who heard it, that you were blessed and you were touched also. Brother Merrill, thank God for you. I heard some of the message that God used you to give this morning, and it was a blessing. You could really feel it in your heart. Let's go further. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 17. That's the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 17. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, "As for these 4 years, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all kinds of visions and dreams." And let me say that again. Daniel had understanding in all kinds of visions and dreams. Daniel had understanding in all kinds of dreams and visions. Okay, please forgive me. Just 1 second.
Can we just take a moment, everyone that's on right now, and let's just pray. Can everybody come on?
Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. We bind the enemy, and we bind every interference in Jesus' mighty name. We take authority over the enemy right now. And God, we ask that, Lord God, as the enemy is attempting to track us, that, Father, you will turn and send the angels to track them and abort everything that the enemy is trying to do right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you. That God, you've given us authority to take authority over the enemy right now. And so, God, we thank you, Lord God, that we have access, and we send forth for the angels right now to do battle on our behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for that you are doing, and, oh, God, for the victory that's already being wrought and won in Jesus' name. And we pray for our speakers this morning. We pray, God, that you would, oh God, just get in their computer right now, Father God, yes, and where the enemy is trying his best to bring interference and hindrance, God, cut it off now. We bind sabotage right now. We bind wicked words that would come through the atmosphere right now. We bind, yes, word curses right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we, yes, take authority over the enemy right, yes, now. And God, we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that your perfect, complete, and whole will be done in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, you take control of this whole situation in Jesus', yes, mighty name. And we thank you. We praise you for it right now. We thank you, God. We're winners, oh God. And you know, God, that we already have victory. God, yes, and you're working miracles, yes, even now. And so we thank you. We praise you right now. So, God, we give you glory and we give you the honor for it all in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Can you hear us?
Hey, there you are.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we got to go through some decrees. So just repeat after me, even though I can't hear you. Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil.
I am redeemed
out of the hand of the devil.
Through the blood of Jesus,
through the blood of Jesus,
all my sins are forgiven.
All my sins are forgiven.
The blood of Jesus, God's Son,
the blood of Jesus, God's Son,
continually cleanse me from all sins.
Continually cleanse me from all sins.
Through the blood of Jesus,
through the blood of Jesus,
I am justified.
I am justified.
Made righteous. Just as if I never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
I am sanctified. Made holy.
Set apart to God.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Redeemed. Cleansed. By the blood of Jesus. Satan has no place in me. No power over me. Through the blood of Jesus and the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's get started again. Once again, Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all kinds of visions and dreams." The Bible says that Daniel had understanding in all kinds of visions and dreams. In other words, he was able to discern, understand, and consider. In other words, through prophetic dreams and vision, Daniel understood the heart and the mind of God. Through dreams and vision, Daniel was able to observe, distinguish, consider, and he had prophetic insight and understanding into the revelation of dreams and visions. Now, this is an area of prayer that we need to pray for in this time.
Yes.
We need to pray that God will give us an understanding, a prophetic understanding of dreams and visions. Yes. I remember during World War II, I remember there was a report by one of the sergeants that had a dream not to go set an ambush against a certain enemy. And he told the captain that if we go set this ambush, the Spirit of God has given me a dream that something would happen to my unit. So he refused to go. And the next company or the next military unit, they went anyway and walked into a bloody ambush. So dreams and visions, once they are discerned, whether they are the flesh, whether they are the spirit of God, or whether they are the spirit of God, or whether they are demonic, once they discern, they can also protect us. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse again. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2. Let's look at verse 19. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 19 of the Amplified Bible, the Bible said, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Many of you already know we serve a God who reveals secrets.
Yes.
We serve a God who will reveal the deep and secret things. Many of you
unmute
have
your speakers
not
are increasingly going to hear other participants.
Ask not.
You are using the computer audio.
Many times,
Dan,
even
in my room right now, so you need to mute.
And I believe in the walk of other believers. I believe that many of you have a like of.
Okay, Brother Kerna, please unmute yourself.
So we serve a God that will reveal the deep and secret things. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, and I'm coming from the Amplified Bible. "The king answered Daniel, 'Of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secret mysteries, seeing that you could reveal this secret mystery.'" So we serve a God, Jehovah Shammah, an ever-present God, who is a revealer of even secret mysteries. How many of you love to worship a God, love to serve a God, who is a revealer of the deep things and the deep mysteries and the secrets? This is the God, Jehovah Shammah, that we worship and we praise. Now, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Once again, that's the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. Once again, that's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Does not a creature exist that is concealed from his sight? But all things are open and exposed and naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Many of you know that everything on this planet, everything in the universe, are celestial, terrestrial, what may have you. Everything is naked before God. God sees everything. He knows the end from the beginning. There is nothing hid from God. How many of you are listening to me? Many of you listeners and viewers. There's nothing hid from God. And I've heard people say, "Well, I can hide my sins." You cannot hide your sins. Every creature, the ant, and if I can put some humor this morning, even the cockroach, God sees the cockroach. Even the rabbits in the field, even the farm animals, because everything is naked before him. So we're in a prophetic time where we must pray and seek his face to get a revelation, an understanding of dreams and visions. They give warnings. They give destiny. They give direction. Job 33 says God will give instruction. He will give instruction through dreams and visions. And even callings can come through dreams and visions. Now, let me bless you again. I had a dream November 7th of this year. That was November 7th of this year. Now, November is the 11th month. The number 11 in Bible number symbolizes disorder, chaos, and judgment. Once again, the number 11 in Bible numbers, scriptural numbers, symbolizes disorder, chaos, and judgment. So it was the 11th month I had the dream, and it was on the 7th day. The number 7 can mean completion, or it can mean a perfection in the area of assignment. I had a dream. The Spirit of God gave me a dream that I was at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Let me say that again. I had a dream that I was at Lick Hamilton Bible Camp, and I was sitting on the right side of the ecclesia, or of the assembly of believers. And all of a sudden, the presence of God dropped, and the presence of God was so strong. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, it was so strong in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And while sitting to the right, I was asked by a woman to teach. Let me say that again. I was asked by a woman to teach. A woman sometimes in dreams and visions can represent the church. When I was asked by that woman to teach, I opened my Bible, and when I opened my Bible, it said chapter 1. And I was astonished in the dream it said chapter 1. Then all of a sudden, a word began to illuminate. A word in the dream began to leap up at me from the Bible. And here's the spelling of the word. H-A-M-A-S. H-A-M-A-S. And let me say that again. The word that leaped up from the Bible, chapter 1, all I saw was Hamas. H-A-M-A-S. Hamas. Now, what was prophetic to me, the next day, Director Merrill called me and asked me what I teach on Zoom. Now, that was prophetic. The Spirit of God already knew, his divine purposes, his divine will, was to have Zoom manifest itself at Lake Hamilton. And the next day, Brother Merrill called, Brother Director Merrill, Brother, I want you to teach at Zoom. Now, that is prophetic. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6, please. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible in verse 6 says, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages forever and ever. Now, in the King James Version, it speaks about kings and priests. Kings and priests. As a believer, we need to begin to understand our authority, that we are kings and we are what? Priests. Now, hold that thought on your heart, kings and priests. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Let's look at verse 2. Proverbs chapter 25. Let's look at verse 2. And to my Spanish-speaking listeners out there, por favor, which means please. Okay? Proverbs chapter 25. Let's look at verse 2. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 of the Amplified, it is the glory of God to conceal a vain. But the glory of kings, the glory of kings, does your word kings, is to search out a vain. Now, upon research, I began to look at the Hebrew word for conceal. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. The Hebrew word for conceal is sawtar, S-A-W-T-H-A-R, sawtar. It means it is the glory of God to hide a thing. It is the glory of God to keep a thing. Or it's the glory of God to keep a secret by a covering. Is that right? But it is the wisdom of a king to search it out. God gets glory when you search it out. God gets glory when he presents something to you in a dream, a revelation, and he wants you as a king. He wants you as a priest. He wants you as a believer to begin to do what? Search it out. Now, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Let's look at verse 11. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Let's look at verse 11. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, now these Jews were better disposed and more noble than those in Thessalonica. for they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Now watch the scripture closely. With inclination of mind and eagerness, searching and examining the scriptures daily. Searching and examining the scriptures daily to see if those things be so. Now the spirit of the Bereans, the anointing of the Bereans, is that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. As kings and priests, we must search the scriptures daily. We must be able to study the word of God and study the Bible and get it in your heart. I like what the prophet Ezekiel said. Eat the book. Eat the book. We have to eat the book daily. We have to be like the Bereans. Now, let's get back to the dream. The Spirit of God gave me Hamas, being kings and priests. It is the glory of God that we will search it out. So what was the Spirit of God revealing to me? He placed me in Lake Hamilton, and he gave me that word. Well, I did some research on Hamas. And to my listeners and viewers, I want you to listen closely, please. Hamas is a Palestinian Islamic militant nationalist organization. The Palestine, they were the ancient Philistines. So it's safe for us to say in 2020 that the Philistines are now what we call Hamas. Palestinian, Palestine, territory, people of the ancient Philistine. Hamas, they are adversaries of Israel. Let me say that again. Hamas, they are adversaries of Israel. Hamas, they have a hatred for Israel. Hamas, they are curses of Israel. They will curse Israel. Hamas, they want Israel annihilated. They want Israel wiped off the map. Hamas, they're not only a curses of Israel, but they seek to destroy Israel. So in other words, that word Hamas means that they have a satanic hatred for Israel. Now, let's look at Zechariah chapter 2, the book of Zechariah chapter 2. The book of Zechariah chapter 2, let's read verses 8 through 9. Once again, that's Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Verse 8 in the Amplified Bible, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after his glory hath he sent me, his messenger, to the nations who plundered you, and is speaking prophetically to Israel. For he who touches you, touches the apple or pupil of God's eye. Look what the Lord is saying. He who touches Israel touches the apple or the pupil of God's eye. Now look at verse 9. Behold, I will swing my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who serve them. Then you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts have sent me his message. That word Hamas, again, they have a satanic hatred for the people of God, Israel. They have a satanic hatred for the people whom God called the apple or the pupil of his eye. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. Let's look at verse 6. The book of Isaiah, chapter 62. Let's look at verse 6. I pray that I'm not moving too fast. Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 6. Look what the Lord says to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Israel. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises and keep not silence. Yes, Israel have been in seasons of rebellion, and they have been stiff-necked as they were in the wilderness. But the Lord says that he has placed watchmen over Jerusalem, and they are watching her day and night. How many of you know that as a believer, Psalms 122, we must pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be in her gates, peace be in her walls. Then he gives us a stipulation, that they may prosper that love thee. The Lord is telling us, if you love Jerusalem and you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Lord says he will cause you to do what? Cause you to prosper. Now, let's move along. Psalms chapter 17, verse 8. The book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 8. In the book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 8 of the Amplified Bible, the Bible says, and this is David speaking, keep me and guard me as the pupil of your eye. Keep me and guard me as the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. Father, we pray that every listener and every viewer here this morning, that you will keep them as the pupil of your eye. Yeah. Even as you keep Israel as the pupil of your eye. You will keep your listeners, your viewers, as well as family as the pupil of your eye in the name of Jesus Christ. King David asked God that prayer. He asked God to keep him as the pupil of his eye. How many of you have been blessed by that? Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. The book of Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says in the Amplified, peace and mercy be upon all who walk by his rule, who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by his principle, even upon the true Israel of God. The apple of God's eye is Jesus. The apple of God's eye is the true Israel. The apple of God's eye are believers like you and myself. Isn't that a blessing? That as a believer, that God keeps us as the pupil or the apple of his eye. And he has watchmen over us. I love the book of Job, chapter 1, where it says that he had a hedge around Job. And I believe that God has a hedge around every believer in this hour who walks upright before him. Now, let's look at another definition of Hamas. And the question that came to me when I had that dream and that word Hamas leaped out at me in the atmosphere of Lake Hamilton, I said to myself, Lord, I'm going to do some research, but I need to understand what you're telling me to say. Many of you already know that apostolic prophetic people get stoned, amen, for bringing the true word of the Lord. But I believe that God is raising up right now the lions, who's going to decree the roar of the lions, who's going to expose the truth at this hour. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Though the truth may bring conviction, and though the truth may affect some people emotionally, but it's time for the roar of the lion. As I said last night, this woman of God in Britain, she prophesied and said that you're going to see in America the serpents fall out the trees because God is exposing the hidden serpents that has been trying to manipulate this nation for decades. Hamas is another definition. Hamas is an Arabic acronym for the Islamic movement. Hamas, again, is a terrorist group as quoted by the Jerusalem Post. Hamas is a terrorist group that refuses to acknowledge Israel. They refuse it to acknowledge Israel in any way, shape, or form. Hamas in Hebrew means violence. Now look at that word Hamas. In the Hebrew language, it means what? Violence. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. All right. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Let's look at verses 14 and 16. Honey, would you read that for me, please?
14 through 16.
Okay, 28. Thy art the anointed cherubim,
that covered. I have set thee so, thy waist upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thy waist perfect in the ways from the day that thy waist created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire.
In verse 14, Satan was the anointed cherub that covered, that overshadowed the throne. Verse 15, you were blameless in your days from the day you were created until iniquity and guilt were found in you. Now look at verse 16 real closely. Through the abundance of your commerce, you were filled with lawlessness and violence. Lawlessness and violence, and you sinned, therefore I cast you out as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. Now that word violence in verse 16 in Hebrew means kamas. Kamas. K-A-H-A-W-M-A-C-E. And kamas means violence. It also means cruelty. It means injustice. And it also means an oppressor. So Satan is kamas because he's a violent demonic entity at times. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to stand with a righteous love for every listener and believer. Non-believers and believers are manifesting the spirit of Hamas. Let me say that again. There are non-believers as well as believers that are manifesting the spirit of Hamas. In other words, they are haters of Israel. They are cursers of Israel, and they refuse to acknowledge Israel in any way, shape, or form. They refuse to acknowledge God's love for Israel. Let me say something here. I know that there have been teachings in the past, even among my next of kin. But God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, El Shaddai, Elohim, he has a love for Israel. God is married to Israel. That word married means he has a covenant. What is a covenant? He has an agreement with Israel. He has a covenant with Israel. Our God that we worship, he is married to Israel. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Once again, that's the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Gene, would we read verse 31 and 33, please?
Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
In verse 32, something catches our attention in the Amplified Bible. It says, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, which Israel broke, although I was their husband. Look what Jehovah God says about Israel. He was their husband. To be a husband, you have to be under covenant. To be a husband, you have to be married to somebody. Now I understand, and I know many of you listeners and viewers understand the book of Hosea. Hosea and Gomer represented the marriage covenant that God had upon Israel. And when Gomer became unfaithful and went into whoredoms and adulteries, God pursued her because of his covenant love that he had for Israel. God says he's Israel's husband. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. The book of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse what? 14. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, read that for me, Ms. Jean, please.
Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord. I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion.
The Amplified reads, return, O faithless children of the whole 12 tribes, says the Lord, for I am the Lord and master and a husband. Here's that word again. I'm a husband to you, and I will take you not as a nation, but individually, one from a city and two from a tribal family, and I will do what? I will bring you to Zion. God has a covenant with Israel. God has a covenant with believers. Every believer, every true believer, you have been grafted into the vine. Grafted into the vine. Grafted into the vine. Turn to the book of Galatians, correction, human error. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. The book of Genesis, chapter 12. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Let's read verse 1 and 3. Genesis, chapter 12. Look at the Abrahamic covenant here. Verse 1. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Isn't it amazing that God had to relocate Israel? God had to change Israel and Sarah into a better covenant. Look at verse 2. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Yeah. Now look at verse 3 real closely. Verse 3, let's look at it real closely. And I will bless those who bless you, he's speaking to Israel, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and I will curse him who curses you. This covenant is applicable today. And I will curse him who curses you in solemn language towards you, and you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you, they will do what? Bless themselves. Now, I look at verse 3 again. God says, I will curse them that curse thee. He's speaking to Israel. It's applicable today. Listen, Galatians 3 says, we are the seed of Abraham. So that same blessing in Abraham and Genesis 12 applies to believers themselves today because we're all grafted into the vine. Okay? Now, the Hebrew word for curse is kalel, K-A-W-L-A-L. Kalel means if you bring Israel into contempt. Kalel means, a curse means, if you curse or despise Israel. That Hebrew word means if you afflict Israel. That Hebrew word means if you make them look despicable. I'm looking at the Hebrew word. It means if you dishonor them, if you despise them, or if you bring them into contempt. Yes, there are many Jews that have been stiff-necked and they have been rebellious. God will deal with them in his timing. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Gene, would you read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8? The book of Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah. Chapter 2, verse 8.
Okay. Zechariah 2?
Verse 8.
Okay. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye.
In Zechariah 2, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, he that toucheth Israel touches the apple of God's eye. Now, the Hebrew word for toucheth is Naga, N-A-W-G-H, Naga. And here's what Naga means. To touch, to lay a hand upon, to violently strike or punish, to defeat or attempt to destroy, to bring down or cast down, or to plague, or to strike, or to touch. He that toucheth Israel touches the apple or the pupil of God's eye. To my viewers and to my listeners, look at the history books. Look at the history book. History has not been kind to those who have cursed Israel. Ask Pharaoh what happened. Ask the Philistines what happened. Ask the Assyrians what happened when they touched the apple or the pupil of his eye. Ask the Assyrians, what happened? Ask the Babylonians, what happened? Why are you in the ash heap of history now? Because you touched the pupil of his eye. Ask Haman in the time of Esther. Ask the Greeks, ask the Romans. How about asking Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany? Ask the Ottoman rule, the Ottoman governor that tortured the Jews of Jerusalem. Very soon, you're going to be able to ask Iran, because Iran is a sworn adversary to destroy and curse Israel. He that toucheth Israel touches the apple, a pupil of God's eye. I believe prophetically that the Spirit of God wants us to realign ourselves with the love of Israel. When you study end time Bible prophecy, you see Israel. When you study end time Bible prophecy, you see that Israel is a prophetic time clock. Let me give you another definition that's connected with Hamas in dealing with Israel. Anti-Semitism. What is anti-Semitism? It has many definitions. A certain perception of the Jews, which may be expressed toward hatred toward the Jews. Anti-Semitism could be directed toward the Jews and non-Jewish individuals. Anti-Semitism toward their property, toward their community, toward their religion. Anti-Semitism frequently charges the Jews trying to destroy humanity, blaming them as Adolf Hitler did. There's a connection with anti-Semitism and the spirit of Hamas. God loves Israel. And as a believer, you should love what God loves. As a believer, you should what? Love what God loves. God loves Israel. God loves you. Each and every listener and viewer here today, God loves Israel. God loves you. One cannot claim to have God's love and hate Israel. Because if you have the love of God manifesting in your spirit man, then you're going to have the love of Israel. There's no place in a believer's heart for the spirit of Hamas. There's no place in a believer's heart for the spirit of anti-Semitism. God wants believers to realign themselves in their perception of Israel. Because you may be, and unknowing to you, you may be touching the apple or pupil of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at verses 6 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at verses 6 and 8. Honey, would you read that, please?
For thy art and holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, but you were the fewest of all the people. Number 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
God loved Israel, and he chose them to manifest himself to the nations. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31 again. Let's look at verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3.
The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
God loves Israel with an everlasting love, an everlasting love, an everlasting love. God loves you, believers, with an everlasting love, with an everlasting love. And I like what the scripture said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And many of you listening today, God has used love and has used kindness to even draw you. Let's look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and of an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto thee, the children of Israel.
God has called Israel to be holy. 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 He has called them to be what? A holy nation. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, God has called believers to be holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse what? 23. And honey, would you read that, please? 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful. In Deuteronomy 28, you don't have to turn there. Just write it down, please. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 68, God promised blessings and cursings upon Israel. Upon Israel, the blessing would come with obedience and the curses would come upon Israel because of Israel's rebellion. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and 5. Keep in mind, God is married to Israel. God has a covenant with Israel. God has everlasting love for Israel. God has also said that those who touch Israel touch the apple of his eye. Those who curse Israel, God said that he will also curse them. Let's look at Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and 5. I'm coming from the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and 5. God's covenants and promises are still in effect for Israel and will remain in effect until he returns or he comes back. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 9. Paul, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit beareth witness with me. Look at verse 2, that I have bitter grief and incessant anguish in my heart. Look at verse 3, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off and banished for Christ for the sake of my brethren and instead of them my natural kinsmen and my fellow countrymen. Now look at verse 4, for they are Israelites. To them belong God's adoption as a nation and the glorious presence of the Shekinah. With them was a special covenant made. To them, Israel was the law given. To them, the temple worship was revealed. And God's own promises announced. Verse 5, to them belong the patriarchs, Jesus, Israel, the prophets, the patriarchs. And as far as his natural descent was concerned, from them came Christ. Or from them is Christ, who is exalted and supreme of all. God bless forever. Amen. So let it be, according to the Amplified Bible. So God's covenants, God's promises are still in effect for Israel and will remain in effect until Yeshua HaMashiach comes back and returns. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11. I pray I'm not moving too fast because I'm getting excited about these scriptures myself. Oh, my God. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. God has not rejected his people that he foreknew. He has not rejected Israel, the people that he foreknew, even though many hardened their hearts and walked in rebellion. Let's look at verse 1 of Romans 11. I ask then, has God totally rejected and disowned his people? Look what Paul says. Of course not. Of course not. Why I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not neglected his people. Of course not. God is not finished with Israel. Israel is in God's prophetic plan. Look at verse 2. No, God has not rejected and disowned his people, whose destiny he had marked out and appointed and foreknew from the beginning. You know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel. Oh, my goodness. God has not rejected his people that he foreknew, even though many times Israel hardened their hearts and they walked what? In rebellion. Now, I pray that many of you are being blessed by this teaching. And I pray that many of you would look at the atmosphere we're in, that we must look at our hearts and make sure that we're not touching the people of God's eye, or the apple of his eye. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 25. The book of Exodus chapter 25. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. The book of Exodus chapter 25. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9 of the Amplified, the Bible says in verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The sanctuary was God instructed, God commanded, God ordained. Now look at verse 9. And you shall make it according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle or the dwelling and the pattern of all the furniture, the pattern of all in the furniture, the pattern of all the furniture, God instructed, God commanded, God ordained. God showed Israel the pattern of the sanctuary. He showed them how he wanted the tabernacle built. And he even showed them, he gave them instructions on where to place and how to build the furniture. Now, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 25. Let's look at verse 40. Verse 40. In verse 40, the Bible says in the Amplified, and see to it that you copy exactly the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Okay, that word pattern in Hebrew means tapnith. Tapnith, it was a God-ordained pattern, where to place the furniture, God-instructed pattern, God-commanded pattern. That Hebrew word for pattern is tapnith, and what it means is the structure. He showed them the model. He showed them the resemblance. He showed them the figure. He showed them the likeness. And he showed them similitude. How did he show it to them? That word showed in the Hebrew is ra'ah, which means that he viewed visions. He saw visions in the mountain that were exposed even to his eyes. Now, I'm laying the foundation for something else. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Jean, honey, would you read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5?
Fine. Who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle? For see, said he, that thy make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
Okay. And that's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Read it again, please. Okay. One more time.
Who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thy may all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
I want everybody to grab this. The Bible says that when God gave instruction to the prophet Moses, it was a divine instruction, a divine commandment. It was ordained by God. The sanctuary, the tabernacle, and all the furniture was instructed and ordained by God to put into the tabernacle. The Bible says that everything that God gave them is a foreshadow, a foreshadowing, of things which are in heaven. Now that is powerful. That is awesome. are foreshadowing or duplication of everything that's where in heaven. Now I'm laying a foundation for something. One of the furnishings there was the menorah. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 25, the book of Exodus chapter 25, and I want you to look at verses 31 through 40. I'm going to read that because there's many scriptures there. Exodus chapter 25, verse 30 to 40, where God instructed Israel to build a seven-branch lampstand of pure gold. Okay? Verse 31, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold, of beaten and turned work shall the lampstand be made, both its base and its shaft, its cups, its knobs, its flowers shall be of one piece. Six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches out of the other side. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with a knob and a flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms on the other branch with a knob and a flower. So for the six branches coming out of the lampstand, and on the center shelf itself, you shall make four cups like almond blossoms with their knobs and their flowers. Verse 35, also make a knob from the shaft under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand in one piece with it. Verse 36, their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it, one beaten work of pure gold. Verse 37, take a deep breath with me. And you shall make the lamps of the lampstand to include a seventh one. Seven golden candlesticks at the top of the shelf. The priest shall set up the seven lamps of it so they may give light in front of it. Its snuffers, its ashtrays shall be of pure gold. Verse 39, use a talent of pure gold. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. You will find it also in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11. The menorah was called the candlebrum. It was called the lampstand. It was called the seven golden candlestick. Now, okay. I did some research and I found out there is a giant menorah that stands outside of the Israeli parliament. Now, let me clear this up.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.